Okay. Hi, good evening. Just a few words, a few reflections about the Cheder Meraglim. What we could take out from it. You know, this is a classical case of where Lashon Hara had devastating consequences. And it's something which we need to understand. The Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people, Atem b'chisem b'chia shochinam, ani ikva lachem b'chia l'doros. You cried for nothing. I'm going to give you something to cry about for all generations, because we know that the night that they cried, because they bought the story of the spies, they bought it, was the night of Tisha B'Av. And ever since then, it was established in the cosmos that that's like there's a crack on that date, that it's easy for bad things to happen then. That's why the Churban of the two Batei Mikdashot was Nechrav on Tisha B'Av, and also the expulsion from Spain was on Tisha B'Av. To say that they had to leave. It's a Yom Muchan L'Poronius because they bought the story of the Meraglim. Now, it sounds like, you know, it's out of proportion, right? They were fooled. Right? The Meraglim came back with a story. Right? They bought it. Right? They cried. God said, you cried for nothing. Now you're going to do something to cry for it. So sounds like, for all generations. So, pretty heavy. You have to understand, you know, how that's justified, you know. That's right. That's what we're asking. What? What? Right. Well, by the final gula. Right. Yeah, but until then, it's been generations that we've been suffering. So now there's, everyone knows on the night of Tisha B'Av, and some read it during the day also, we read the Megillah of Eicha as a very... except for the very last perek, you know, it's structured in the order of the aleph beis. It first starts off with sukkim, starting with aleph, and then beis, then gimel, right? Except for the very last chapter, except that in chapters two till the second to the last, there's a deviation, right? That the pei and ayin are inverted. You know, in the regular order of the aleph beis, samach ayin pei, but in the psukim of Megillas Eicha, the psukim that start with samach. Then psukim that start with pei, and then it goes back to ayin, and then resumes tzadi. Okay? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin notes that, and says this is because of the sin of the Meraglim. Sha'amru befihem pei. They said with their mouths, mashalora ubeinayim ayin. Right? They said with their mouths what they didn't see with their eyes. So they put their mouth before their eyes. So pei, before ayin, before eye. Right, it's a Gemara. So the question is like this. There should be no psukim with ayin. If they said with their mouths what they didn't see with their eyes, so it should be no psukim with ayin. You know, similar, you know, we have a precedent like that. In Ashrei, there's no pasuk that starts with nun. Right? Nafla, lasifa, because, you know, nun, nefila, right? We don't want that. Right, so hey, Eicha, you should have without any psukim that don't, you know, with the no psukim that start with ayin. Well, you put the pei before the ayin. Should have no pasuk starting with ayin at all. Okay. So there's a very interesting Rashi I'd like to read to you in Parshas Bereishis. When was the very first instance of Lashon Hara in the Torah? Very first time. No. Earlier than that. A day didn't go by without Lashon Hara. Right? A day didn't go by. Right? The Nachash, the snake, spoke Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So, right. That's the first day of your history of humanity. The first day was Lashon Hara. So, the media was there from the beginning. We'll get back to that in a second. The media. So the Nachash is speaking Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the woman. God said, you're going to die, you're not going to die. God knows. On the day you eat from it, your eyes will open. You'll be like God himself, knowing the difference between good and evil. Right, so you know, so he's saying that God's afraid. He's, you know, he's not letting you eat from that tree because he's afraid what you're going to become. You'll be just like him. That's why he's withholding the tree from you. So what does it say immediately after that? So Chava listened to this. Vatera isha, a woman saw kitova etz lamachal. It looks good to eat. Vechitavo inaim, it's pleasurable to the eyes. Venechmar etz lahaskil, and it seems that you'll have success from eating from the tree, right? Right, so she took from the fruit and ate. She also gave her husband, and he ate with her. Right, and the rest is history. Now, the interesting thing is, the words open up. Vatera Isha, the woman saw that the fruit is actually good. She saw the tree before. Other Mauritian had shown her the tree and said, "We're not allowed to eat from this thing." And she's acting over here as if, you know, after hearing the Nachash. Right, she's seeing it for the first time. She knew it was identified to her that this, you know, we eat from everything else except from this one. Right. So there's no doubt that Rashi was bothered by this. So listen to what Rashi says. Clearly going on the words Vatera Ha'isha, and the woman saw. Says Rashi, Ra'asa Devarav Shel Nachash. She saw what the Nachash was saying. Right? Venola Vemino, so it made, you know, sounded good to her, and she believed it. So Vatera Isha, says Rashi, is not going on, the physical, optical, image of the tree. She saw what the Nachash was saying. She liked it, and she believed it. An amazing thing, amazing principle being taught over here. You know, that the way the mind works, right, that when you, once you believe something, right, you start seeing it that way. So what Rashi's saying and the simple pshat in the pasuk are not a contradiction. When she bought it, right? So now she never heard this editorial before about what the tree is all about. Right? Now she hears the Nachash's take on it, that God is holding this tree back. This tree is actually good for you, and that's why God is withholding it from you. Hey, now it looks different. Right, she now looks at the tree differently because of what she heard from the Nachash. An amazing thing about the power of Lashon Hara. Right? That, Chazal talk extensively about its destructive force and that it kills. It kills three people. The one who said it, the one who heard it, and the one who you were talking about. It's very, very severe Lashonus in Chazal about Lashon Hara. And now we're beginning to understand why. Right? Because if this story actually gets, catches on, it changes the perspective on reality. And perception is reality. If it changes your perception and it changes your perspective, you refashioned reality. Right? And you made a mutant reality come back to life. With this, we can understand an interesting halacha in Hilchos Lashon Hara. Chazal say this black and white, the halacha sfarim bring it. Who's worse? The guy who spoke Lashon Hara? The guy who concocted the story? Or the guy who heard it? The guy who listened? Who's worse? No, the guy who heard it. Now you're right. It's counterintuitive, right? You think, right? Yeah, right. So you think it's counterintuitive, that halacha, because this guy is the one who spun the whole tale. He's like real evil. He's the one who acted with malice. The other guy is the innocent, bystander. He's a victim. So no.
Why did Miriam get saras in that era?
Excuse me.
Why did Miriam get saras in that era?
Yeah, very good question. Right? Could be Aaron didn't believe it. Right? Okay. But that's the point. It doesn't mean Hashomea. It's HaMekablo. The Mekablo. The one who accepts the Lashon Hara as fact. Because here's the thing that could be true. Right? That the guy who's saying the Lashon Hara knows he's lying. Right? But the Mekablo is accepting it as fact. And now, the lethal force of Lashon Hara, right, that it changed because if it's believed, it changes a person's perspective. And now reality itself will see in his eyes forever, the way he now understands it because of the Lashon Hara. It's not going to look that way like Vatera Isha. So he's the one who made a bunch of lies become reality by believing in it. That's what Rashi said. She saw what the Nachash was saying. Ve'enola ve'heminoso. It made, she liked it and she believed in it. The Makabel who believes the Lashon Hara makes that lie become reality. In the sense that, you know, in the sense it becomes the perspective of the people, and that for all intents and purposes now is the reality as far as the people who believe in it are concerned. It's not God's reality, you know, but this guy who has to do business with these people and he's been badmouthed, his life is over. Right? Because it's become the new reality.
What? In this particular case, Hashem said you made a mistake. In regular life, once Lashon Hara, somebody is Makabel Lashon Hara.
That's right. It's really very hard to do tshuva for. Now you can understand the severity of what Lashon Hara is, because it really changes reality. When you think about it for a second, there's a certain, you can understand a certain mechanics to it, how it's a real misuse of the power of speech. Because how did God create the world? With speech. Now, of course, what we have to try to do is, you know, with our power of speech that God granted us, which we know comes from the neshama, like everyone knows the famous Targum Unculus, Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chayim, when God brought in the divine soul, man became a creature of life, Unculus on the words Nefesh Chaya, says Ruach Memalula, a speaking spirit. You know, our capacity of speech is divine. Now, we are supposed to, with our power of speech, also create. Like the Navi says, Vasim Dvarai Beficha, Lintoa Shemaim, Viliyosid Oretz, Vlemul Tzion Amiata. I put my words in your mouth that God put, you know, the power of speech in us, that we should also uphold the sky and found the earth. And that's how you are Imi. You are with me. You're partners with me in creation. But that's why we have to be very careful with our speech, that it really reflects reality. Right? But you can use the power of speech to create an alternate reality. And how does it work? Why should evil speech, you know, create a, you know, a warped reality? Because people believe in it. And then you believe in it, you know, you buy it. Once you buy it, you can't help but see it that way. So now we can understand what it means in Megillas Eicha, that, you know, the pe and ayin, the ayin and pe are inverted. Right? Switched around, right? That says the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's because it alludes to the Chet and the Meraglim Shamru b'fiem mashalo ro'u b'neihem. So we asked if they said with their mouths, you know, what they didn't see with their eyes, right? So if that's the case, there should be no psukim with ayin. So why did you put the pasuk with ayin after pe? There should be no pasuk that starts with ayin. But now with what we're saying, it's understood, because once they said what they didn't see, and the people bought it, they started seeing it that way. And it became their reality. Right? Perception is reality. You know, perspective is reality. And that's, now you can understand that that's what God says. No, you cried for nothing, but you believed in it. You made it real. So I said, so your Bechir Shel Chinam, it was in essence Chinam, it was in essence empty, lacking in substance, because how the Meraglim, you know, what they were saying was really not true, right? But you made it real. So, and as the Bechir L'Doros is the direct, you know, you did that. It was in essence Chinam, but you made it real. So I want to take this one step deeper. I want to ask you, did the Meraglim really lie?
Did the Meraglim
actually lie?
Is it the way it was their perception?
Okay. No, very good. I want to contrast for a second what the Meraglim said with how Moshe Rabbeinu himself describes coming to Eretz Yisrael. All right. Parshas Akev. Right. If you were Marba Seder and you have the words of Parsha Shlach in your head, they're going to round, the Sukkim and Parshas Akev are going to ring fantastically similar. If not, you know, I'll read you the Sukkim from our Parsha also. But just one second. Here, Shema Yisrael, Ato vera yomes hayarden, l'reshit goyim gdolim v'atzim mecha, nations that are bigger and stronger than you. Orim gdolos u'betzuros b'ashamayim, fortified cities, fortified up to the heavens. Am gadol v'ram b'nei anakim, a very great and high nation, mighty nation, the children of the giants. Asher ataya data, v'ata shamata, you know and you heard. Mi yisyatef ifnei b'nei anak, who could stand against, you know, against the children of the giants? It's almost the exact same words, almost word for word, of the description that the Meraglim said. Want me to read it to you? It's almost word for word. As a matter of fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was even all the Meraglim said. Ephes Piazam, Yoshev Baaretz, Varim Gdol Sok Zolzot, Vagami Nakrinu Sham. No, strong nation, fortified cities, and they're the children of the Anakim, the children of the giants are there. Amalek Yoshev Baaretz Negev, and Amalek there at the south, and Chiti Evusi, Vamor Yoshev Bahar, Vakar Yoshev Alayam, and the Kananim are on the west, Al Yada Yarde. That's all they said. Moshe Rabbeinu describes the situation the exact same way as the Meraglim. So why is what the Meraglim say Lashon Hara, and what Moshe Rabbeinu does, you know, that's called good Musar and good Chizuk?
You said it in a positive way, in a way to encourage to go to Eretz Yisrael, by the same word but the others used to diminish and to make a negative statement.
Excellent. Correct. Correct. Right, the raw facts were the same. The raw facts were the same, except that, you know, the context of Moshe Rabbeinu is after he gives this describes the situation. You know, v'yadatayom ki Hashem elkechu over, and Hashem is going to be there, walking in front of you. Eshochlo is going to be a destructive fire to them. Hu yashmirem v'yachneim lefanachu, he's going to break them. He's going to subjugate them. He's going to break them for you. Varashu v'avadatem maher. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says it in the context of, and despite all that, you're going to win. The Meraglim, speaking the same raw facts, right, say that, right, lo nuchal alosam ki chazaku mimeno, right? We can't do it. We can't take it. Very interesting. You know, everyone knows that Lashon Hara is true. Right? You know, that's just between Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra. So sometimes, you know, it really bothers you. How could the Torah legislate against telling the truth? It's true. Public has a right to know. Now, the truth is, the aspect of Lashon Hara that's Ra, right, is the editorial that you put on it. If you could just say the simple, dry facts with zero editorial on it, right? You don't in any way, you know, put a spin, right? There wouldn't be anything wrong with it, right? You know, what's evil about Lashon Hara is, but it's the truth. It's not really, really, really the truth. You know, there are facts in the Lashon Hara, but that negative spin, that editorial, that's all your creation. So you're not just reporting the news, you're making the news. And that's what's wrong with the media. So, I mean, of course, in this day and age, you know, it's the fake news, right, and alternate facts, right? But, you know, once upon a time, right, even assuming that, you know, the raw facts stated, you know, are accurate, but the media puts a spin on it, right? So, you know, the footage that you might see from CNN, you know, of, you know, the Israeli occupation in Gaza, right? You know, they show, you know, Israelis shooting bullets at the Palestinians. Of course, you know, it's all the, you know, it's probably real footage, But the fact that, you know, a second before the Palestinians were throwing rocks and they cut that part out, right? And they cut out, you know, don't make other mention of why the Israelis had to be there in the first place, you know, looking for a terrorist in hot pursuit, right? So they mold, so even though it's like strict facts, right, but they mold, you know, the editorial around it in a negative light. And which, you know, we suffer for, Israel suffers for, gets a condemnation every Sheni v'Chamishi in the UN, right? Because that becomes the perception. And that's what's ra about Lashon Hara. You know, Lashon Hara uses, you know, facts, but the aspect of Lashon Hara that's ra, what's the fake reality that you're creating and the fake perspective is the editorial. I always say that much of the conflict between science and religion could be resolved. I mean, there are people in the room that know better than me, but I've always imagined that the conflict between science and religion could easily be resolved if the scientific community would just say the raw facts, right? Without their editorial that therefore there is no God or therefore there must have been evolution. Just tell us the raw facts that you've observed and you've measured, right? And we could come up with our own editorial that probably could fit very, very comfortably, you know, with what it says in the Chumash, certainly with many things that it says in the Kabbalah, right? Could probably shtim very, very comfortably if you just stick to the raw facts. The problem is everyone wants to, you know, take the facts and then, you know, superimpose on it their worldview. And they're trying to bring you into their personal universe. And that's what's ra about Lashon Hara. Right? And that's why you can understand, right? The perfect contra, right, to Lashon Hara is the Beis HaMikdash. We lost the Beis HaMikdash because Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, the Bechia Lidoros, because Am Yisrael bought the Lashon Hara. Right? They bought the editorial that the Meraglim put on the facts. Right?
Always hearing that, I don't want to stop you, but always hearing that we lost the Beis HaMikdash was the Lashon Hara. Beis HaMikdash was so many thousands of years later.
Right. The date, Tisha B'Av was set up as a date.
We look at that. There's something missing there. Even though it might be practically correct, but there's always something missing there because the timing is off. So how do we adjust that timing? We go back to Meraglim, come ahead because of Tisha B'Av. But wait a minute. Tisha B'Av is way down the road.
Way down the road. Right? But it was on that date.
Way back, but even before they even got to Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
We got into Eretz Yisrael. We built a base in Mikdash. The Shlomo HaMelech was there. Something is more, you know, something is missing. Was it a Gilgal that we're running around here?
I didn't say the Lashon Hara, the Meraglim did.
Right.
Why should we suffer for generations? Because
they were very. All right, fine. That's okay. Now, why for generations? Well, you could ask the same question. Why we suffer for generations for the Chet HaEgel also? And only 3,000 people were involved, right? Right. Except that the problem is, you know, the reason why it's for all generations is because these sins were done communally. There was a sense of the whole community and the nation being involved.
I'm sorry,
it's easy for you to say now, right? You know, because it was a national sin, and once it's a national entity, it includes all generations. Just like, I'll ask you another question. Now, you may like the question more than the answer, I'm afraid, right? Why do you have to keep Torah? You didn't say Naaseh v'Nishma, they did. Naaseh, I should. God forgive me for raising the issue, right? No, stay here, there's an answer. Right? The same principle. Once it's a nation is a corporate entity that's inclusive of the whole, all generations. That's halacha also in Korbanos Tzibur. You know, a person, I just tell you halacha from Korbanos Tzibur. If an individual is chayav a korban chatas, but he dies and he sets the animal aside. He dies before they could offer up on the Mizbeach. They can't offer it on the Mizbeach anymore. But let's say it was a korban Tzibur, right? So even if that whole generation flipped over, right? Iyata yocholomar korban tzibur shemesu bala she'ein tzibur mesim, because a tzibur populace is really inclusive of all. It's a corporate entity that includes all generations. So there's no such thing as a korban tzibur shemesu baleha. Even if everyone in that generation died, there's still the next generation, and it's all the same tzibur. So, you know, we accepted the Torah as a tzibur, right? And sadly, as a tzibur, the Chet HaEgel was condoned. They stood passively as a tzibur and let the 3,000 perpetrate the Chet HaEgel. And it was, Vayilonu ha'am balailahu, the whole nation, as a nation, bought the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. And that's why, and that's how it works.
So the Christians aren't so crazy.
Why? Well, I beg to differ. Why do you say that?
They say collective guilt because the Sanhedrin, did what they supposedly did with Yashka.
Maybe it was a collective merit. I mean, what? I mean, you know, chayv misa, you know? It was chayv misa.
But the grandchildren want to do tshuva, so why are they suffering?
What?
They're trying to do tshuva here, but they're still suffering.
I know, but the problem is that, you know, the cosmic damage is so big because it's a national problem, so it takes many generations, not just one generation, to put it right, because it's a national problem. And the nation is a corporate entity that includes all generations. That's why a national sin will take many generations. But eventually we will fix it. Eventually we're going to fix everything wrong. Not killing that guy. That was the right thing to do. But, you know, the ego and the cheder merave, we're eventually going to fix. Right?
That would be a samishir.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Correct. So getting back to the issue that we have to, the Beis HaMikdash is a contra to Lashon Hara, in the sense that in Lashon Hara you're creating a fake reality, even if there are the raw facts are correct, you are making cynical use of those raw facts to impose upon them a picture and a worldview, and that's the Lashon Hara. The Lashon Hara is the negative view, the negative perspective is the Lashon Hara. Right, and it's, you know, and that's what gets believed and adopted, and using facts to support and get people to believe and buy into it. The total opposite is the function of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, what do we come to the Beis HaMikdash to do? The Torah always describes as liros es pneya adon, to see. Yeroa kol sorcha. You bring an olas re'ia when you come there. It's all about seeing. The amazing thing about a Beis HaMikdash, to give the Beis HaMikdash, is to see the world as it is according to God. It's liros, right? As opposed to the perspective created by Lashon Hara. When we Am Yisrael does Aliyah L'Regel of Beis HaMikdash, liros is Pnei Adon. It's a chance to see the world by God's light. And that's why there's a famous Chazal, Yerushalayim Oro Shel Olam, right? When Hordas killed out the Chachamim, he felt bad about it, right? And he asked Baba Ben Buta, what tshuva should he do? So Baba Ben Buta gave him the Eitzah to renovate the Beis HaMikdash, which he did an unbelievable job. Chazal say, most beautiful building in history was the Beis HaMikdash, the way it looked after Hordas did a renovation to it. Baba Ben Buta explains why that's his kapara for killing the Chachamim. Hu kava oro shel olam, le'asak ba'oro shel olam. You extinguish the light of the world, because Torah is light. He ner mitzvah Torah or, right? But now, do something that restores light to the world. And that's the Beis HaMikdash. Never v'nora lov goyim. The goyim will swarm to it. But nahora also means in Aramaic light. Because, you know, the clarity that Torah gives you mentally, you know, the Beis HaMikdash gave it to you mamish visually. That when you came to the Beis HaMikdash, you saw the truth. And then through that experience of seeing the truth, the Shekhinah that's revealed there, you then look at life totally differently. After being exposed to that light, you now see life itself in a new perspective. Right? In that world, you know, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, it would have been very, very hard to be an apikoros. Right? We go there and you see the Shechina, and you see the 10 miracles that happened there daily that Chazal count. It's the difference between hearing and seeing. Right? Now we just talk about that there is a God. Right? In the Beis HaMikdash, you went and you saw that there is a God. The Gemara said on the Pasuk in Eicha, B'machashakim hoshivani kimson, God put me in the dark, like those dead to world. Zeh Talmud Bavli. This is the Babylonian Talmud. Right? That's interesting Gemara. Now everyone's going to say it's damn true, right? Right? So it's a very interesting phrase in the Gemara. Says, so when Gemara wants to bring a proof, what does it say? It says, Toshma, come here. And that's very interesting. You contrast that with the Yerushalmi or the Zohar. It says, Tochazi, come and see. Very interesting. Right? The Zohar and the Yerushalmi that were written in Eretz Yisrael use the term, you know, when they try to make a point, come see. The Bavli, written in Chutz La'aretz, says, Toshma, come in here. So now is an interesting stylistic difference also. Anyone who's done comparative sugyas between Bavli and Yerushalmi knows that the Bavlis are a lot more mitpulpal. There's a lot more dialectic and give and take in Bavli. That's why the sugyas are generally longer. Sometimes what's a few pages in the Bavli of argumentation, the Yerushalmi resolves like that from a pasuk. Have you ever, it's very interesting. The Yerushalmi is a lot more connected to the psukim and sees immediate answers in psukim. The Bavli is more mefalpel, right? Because Eretz Yisrael, right? Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elkechaba. The gift of Eretz Yisrael is that the environment that is visible is seeing the world in God's eyes and by God's light. That is the gift of living in Eretz Yisrael. It's called Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elkechaba, and the mitzvah of Lirga is Liros, to see. Right, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not just ideology. You actually see, right? You actually see what the Torah preaches. In Chutz Lartz, you hear about it and you believe in it, right? In Eretz Yisrael, you mamish see it. And that's why the Kuzari says, right, that Nevuah is, which is prophecy. The prophet doesn't figure out; he sees in prophetic vision. Nevuah says the Kuzari is only in Eretz Yisrael. And he says the Nevi'im that were mitnabe in Chutz La'aretz, like Yechezkel, like Yirmiyahu, right? It was only for the sake of Eretz Yisrael. The Kuzri writes that. Because Eretz Yisrael is all about seeing, right? Seeing reality as it is. Seeing the reality by God's light. Seeing reality through God's eyes. Chutz La'aretz is where everything that the Torah says is still true. You just don't merit to see it. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, you mamish see it. Right, so in Chutz Lartz, we're figuring out, right? And in Eretz Yisrael, we mamish see. So the Zohar and the Yerushalmi, written in Eretz Yisrael, tochazi, come see, and it's, there's no elaborate proofs. It's straight to the point. You just see it, right? The Talmud Bavli, written in Chutz Lartz, you're figuring out. So it's toshma, come here, and there's a lot of pilpul to make sure that because you're figuring out and you're calculating. You're not seeing, and you have to also double check since you're calculating and speculating. So you have to raise every single hava mina and knock it out, to make sure you're left with the real, pristine truth. Right? So by accepting the perspective of the meraglim, right, listening to what came out of their peh, change what you see with the ayin. So you're not zochet to be ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion. Right, that we see things eye to eye. When we go back to Tzion, that's going to be in the future, that we have to get back to that. Because they adopted a warped reality, a warped perspective, and the whole gift of Eretz Yisrael in general, and the Beis Hamikdash in particular, is to see things from God's perspective. So that was why the Onesh was. You accept the false perspective on reality, you're not going to be in the land and have a Beis HaMikdash which shows you the correct perspective if you're willing to buy into a false perspective, right? Until that great day, right? And you'll find that all the prophecies and all the tefillos that talk about the future all talk about re'iyah, seeing. V'hareinu Hashem Elokeinu b'nechem ha'tzion irecha. I could go on and on and on. All the tefillos and all the nevuos talk about, and we will see, and we will see, and we will see. God show us, right? Because the truth is, God is the absolute king of the world right here, right now. Just it's hard to see that. We're in Hester Panim, right? The divine majesty is concealed. Right, the Gula is when the mind is revealed. Right, and at that time, all Jews will go back to Eretz Yisrael because that's where that is the embassy where it's meant to be revealed. Right? So we have to be, first of all, learn from the story of the Meraglim, right? That the pickle that it put us into, and what our situation is like today as a result. The Bechiah L'Doros is that buying into a false perspective forever ruined our perspective on life, right? That's only going to be properly, fully restored with the Gula Shlema, right? It was temporarily restored, with the Beis Hamikdash of Shlomo, then the Beis Hamikdash of Ezra, but it wasn't a full tikkun, and that's why it fell apart again, right? We're still yearning, right, for, to live in a world where we see everything from God's perspective, and what we will add with our speech is just an enhancement, that our speech will just enhance God's world, and not make up editorials that go against God's world. So the So the Baruch Hashem should help, right? You have to understand that the terrible, lethal force of Lashon Hara is it's to bring a warped reality to the world. Right? And you have to understand, we live in the world of fake news, as our president says, right? But the fake news is not just CNN. No, it's the textbooks also. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's all fake news, right? We have to be, we have to know that, and we have to realize that. And with this, we can understand a cryptic Maharal. The Maharal asked a simple question, right? There's one perek in Eicha where the whole Aleph Beis is correct, right? That's the first perek. After that, it begins this inversion of Pei and Ayin from the second perek till the second to the last. The last perek is not in the order of the Aleph Beis at all, right? So ask the Maharal, right? So why is the first perek in the proper order? If it's all about, because the Maragan put the mouth before the eyes, and because the mouth came first, that changed perspective, why is the first perek in the correct order of Ayin and Enpe? Says the Maral, to teach you that that's the proper order. That's what he writes. What do you mean? Like, the source of the proper order of the Aleph Beis is the first perek in Echav? If not for that, we wouldn't know that the Seder of Aleph Beis goes, Aleph, Samech Ayin Pei Tzadi. He means to say like this, you have to be reminded that life itself now is corrupt because of Cheder Meraglim. It ruined our perspective on reality. And you have to be aware that we live in a reality where people are selling you perspectives, right? Totally alienating you from the natural perspective that God wanted the universe to have. And you have to be vigilant and realize that you're living in a world of pay before iron. Everyone's telling you what reality is. And you have to know it's not that way, right? You have to know it's the opposite of the way they're telling you. It's iron and then pay. Don't let anyone tell you what reality is, right? You look and you see for yourself, right? Which the truth is, that's what set Avraham Avinu apart from, all the other people of his generation. There were certain policies that were accepted. And once, like we said, once something is accepted, you can't help but see it that way. Right? Avraham Avinu said, I'm not going to let anyone tell me what is. I'm going to observe for myself. I'm going to put my ayin before my pei. And he re-examined reality by himself. And from that, after looking with his ayin, he spoke and told the whole world that there's a God, as opposed to the world that he was living in. Everyone was saying, right, what the perspective ought to be. And the first perek in Eicha reminds us about that. It's ayin before pei. Right? And that's the way it ought to be, as opposed to what the Rabbi did, put pay before iron. Thank you very much.